Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week you heard about King David, how he sinned against the Lord and did what was evil in his sight. This week you've heard about another king of Israel, one that did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all of the kings of Israel who were before him. Ahab followed in the way of his father. His father had worshipped false idols, and Ahab would too. If that was not enough to provoke God to anger, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. He went and served Baal and worshipped him. If David was the king who would not go out to lead his people in battle, but wanted to lead from a distance while taking life easy, Ahab, then, is the king that doesn't want to lead at all. And he's very content in letting his pagan wife rule over Israel. Ahab had already disregarded the words of the Lord. He had led Israel in worshiping false gods. Now, in complete disregard for the Lord's word, he condemned Israel and the word of God. He united himself with a pagan wife. But in spite of the king's sin, in spite of Israel's rejection and their idolatry, the Lord was not finished with his chosen people. He was not ready to let them go their own way to destruction. So again, as with David, he sends his prophet to his anointed king, not to the king's pagan wife, who was really running the show, but to the one that he had anointed to be king over Israel, the one that he had anointed to lead. And through the prophet Elijah, God says to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And immediately after that, the prophet of God was led out by the word of God, and he was hidden east of the Jordan River in a ravine, and he was fed by the ravens. Ahab was certainly not David. It would take more than a story about a rich man and a poor man and a little ewe lamb to bring Ahab to repentance. 3 years of drought, and it wasn't enough. During that time of drought, though, while the Lord's word was working on Ahab's heart, the Lord did not fail to take care of his prophet. When the water in the brook where he was hiding dried up, the word of the Lord led him to a widow in Zarephath. And there, God did not let the jar of flour or the jug of oil run out. When the widow's only son became ill and died, Elijah prayed to God on her behalf, and the Lord listened to his prophet and gave the life of the child back to him. Almost an anti-David sort of thing, wouldn't you say? Then the Lord was with his prophet and cared for him throughout the days of famine. The Lord did not let the widow die of starvation. He did not let sickness and death take away her only son. In the third year of the drought, God sent his prophet to Ahab again. "Elijah, go and see the man. It is time, for I will send rain on the earth." First, Elijah went to Obadiah. He's the one he met in the field. Obadiah was faithful to God. He went to Obadiah so that he would know that God had not abandoned him or any of the believers that lived under Ahab. Through Obadiah, God went through Elijah to Ahab. During all three of these years of the drought and Elijah's absence, the king searched for Elijah and could not find him anywhere. Twice he went to war thinking he had found him, but he had not. During that time, Jezebel, the pagan wife of the king of Israel, thought that she could end the drought by destroying all of the prophets of God, as if by killing those who spoke the truth, those who represented the Lord's judgment against her idolatry and sin, that she could somehow take away the curse and the anger of God. See how deluded we are in sin? Instead of repenting during those 3 years of drought, Ahab was still trying to get by on his own. When Elijah came and found him, they were in the middle of trying to find water and grass to save some of the flocks without God's hand. All he had to do was repent. And Elijah would restore the rain, and the Lord would provide for them again. But Ahab could not. He was still ignoring the word of the Lord after those 3 years of drought. He was still listening to his pagan wife. He was still letting her have her way by killing the prophets of the Lord and all those who were faithful to the Lord in Israel. As soon as Ahab sees Elijah in the field, he immediately begins to blame him for the trouble that had come upon him and all of Israel. He does exactly what Jezebel does. He has heard the law. He has been condemned for his sin of leading Israel in idolatry, but he will not accept responsibility or repent. Instead, he blames the one who carries the message to him. What are you doing here, troublemaker of Israel? Jezebel's blaming of the prophets of the Lord and trying to kill them all. Ahab's blaming of Elijah. These things are like Peter trying to strangle the rooster after it has crowed. It's ridiculous. It's not the rooster that has sinned. It's Peter who has sinned. It's not Elijah who has sinned. It's Ahab who has sinned. It's Jezebel who has sinned. It's Israel who has sinned. See how different David and Ahab are? One is turned in repentance. The other hardens his heart against the word of the Lord. Elijah rightly answered Ahab, though. He said, "I have not troubled Israel, you have. Your father's house with you, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." So that the people of Israel might see again that there was a prophet in Israel, the prophet called to them and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, then worship and follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." But they didn't answer him even a word. So next he proposes that there be a battle on Mount Carmel. He calls out the prophets of Baal, all 400 of them. He says, "Let us go and find out who is God." Since the people want to stand on the side of victory, and who can blame them there, they want to wait until the end. They want to see what happens. But that's not faith. It's not faith to put the Lord to the test and see if he answers and then believe in him. If you've been studying Revelation with us on Sunday mornings, you'll remember the word of the Lord to the church at Laodicea. "I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." It's no different here with these Israelites. The prophet says the very same thing. It must be one or the other. You can't serve both the Lord and Baal. So the people agree to the challenge. They agree to let Elijah stand alone against the prophets of Baal and let their two gods battle it out. The bulls are brought out. Elijah says, "You go first. You deal with this. You are many. I am one." He prepares their altar. They pray to Baal, they call for fire from heaven, they limp and they dance around the altar in their satanic ritual all morning long, but nothing happens. The Lord does not answer them. At noon, Elijah mocks them, and I wish you could read the Hebrew here. He says to them, "Cry out louder. Maybe he who is God can't hear you. Maybe he's sitting on the toilet." And that's the nice way of saying what Elijah says. "Maybe he's gone out of the country altogether. He's nowhere to be found. Maybe he's asleep." And they did cry louder, and this time they cut themselves. They spilled their own blood, and they were out of their minds. But still nothing happened. No voice was heard. When they were exhausted and nearly bled out, and when they had given up, it was Elijah's turn. First, he repaired the altar on Mount Carmel that had been torn down by the pagans. Then he dug a trench and stacked the wood and cut the bulls in pieces. Then he poured precious water, 4 jugs full of precious water, not once, not twice, but 3 times over everything that he had set up, so that the water filled the trench of the earth and everything was saturated. Then when the time of the evening offering came, Elijah was ready. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know you, O Lord, that you are God, that you have turned their hearts back. And the fire of the Lord fell from heaven, and it consumed everything. And the people saw it, and they repented. They fell on their faces in great fear and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. He's the one we want to stand with." Ahab watched then as the false prophets were rounded up by the people, and as Elijah took them down the mountain and put them to death in the valley. Elijah instructed Ahab to prepare for rain that was coming. He went up the mountain again with his servant and watched for the rain and prayed to God. And God spoke to him and formed the clouds and brought the rain. The wind blew and the rain came, and the parched earth was satisfied. The blood of the false prophets was washed away. But Ahab went into the city and told his pagan wife everything that he had done. And because of this, because of his sin, she burned with anger again against Elijah. She said, "By God's own hand, I will put you to death." And then, by his own shame or for his own shame, Elijah became afraid of the pagan woman. Even though God was on his side, in an unexplained way, he cannot stand up against this Jezebel. He flees into the wilderness. He sleeps there under a tree, and the Lord comes to him and ministers to him, just as the angels of God come to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness. 2 times he is woken and given food to strengthen him for his travel. Food from heaven. Food that kept him strong for 40 days and 40 nights as he traveled through the wilderness to the mountain of God. And on the mountain of God, the Lord revealed himself to Elijah. Not in a great wind, not in an earthquake, not in a fire, but in a still, small voice. And the Lord told him that he was not the only one left. Told him that there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal, who had been reserved for God. Told him that there would be a new king of Israel that he would anoint. Told him that there would be a prophet who would follow after him to speak God's word to the remnant, that believers would still remain. And Elijah repented, and he believed the Lord and trusted in his word and did as he commanded. There is much more to this story. It is incredible how God works among his people, but it's no different than with David. The voices of this world are strong in number and very loud and sometimes even violent. Yet, though Christ's church is far outnumbered by unbelievers, he is still faithful to his people. He has not forgotten them or left them to fend for themselves. Sometimes it is hard to hear that still small voice of the Lord over all the other noise that is around us. But he is still speaking through his prophets and in his word. You've seen the results, though. When once people reject God's word and his still small voice, anything goes. You saw it with David as he committed sin after sin after sin. Now you have seen it with Ahab in a much stronger and worse form. You know it to be true in your own life as well. That the Christian church can tolerate and even at times advocate for abortion and euthanasia, that is an abomination to the Lord. That what is sin can be called good, and that what is good can be called evil by ministers of the gospel. That God's word is rejected and trampled underfoot, and that God's commands are so quickly forgotten and ignored is certainly not to our glory. It is to our shame and for our destruction. The people of God in Elijah's day ignored and forgot the Lord, and they suffered and they died, and many fell from faith and died the eternal death. Soon there will again be fire from heaven. But it will not be as a sign or a call to repentance. It will be for judgment and death for those who do not believe that the Lord will come again. Sin is sin. It brings death. Repent of it and live. In all of this that you have heard, you cannot deny that God is merciful. He bends over backwards for His people. He can and does call people from the deepest shadow of darkness into repentance and salvation. You saw it happen with David, and though it took time, a lot of time, if you were to keep reading in this book of Kings about Ahab, you would see that because of the Lord's word through Elijah, Ahab too would repent. He would humble himself before the Lord and ask for mercy. The Lord is still at work, forgiving the sins of those who repent and believe in Him. When you hear this word of His, do not harden your heart to Him. The word of the Lord, sent through God's prophets and apostles and pastors, does kill. The law convicts and condemns, and it shows us our sin, and it kills. But that same word brings life. The word of death is at work in you to cast out every idol, as our hymn said. It is to remove every loveless thought. But at the very same time, the word of life comes to you and is at work in you to bring you to repentance, to create in you a clean heart, to cause you to trust in the Lord who alone is God. These many years you have been kept safe and secure from the evil one. You have not run out of food or water or clothing. Jesus bore the consuming fire of God's wrath for your sin on His cross. He died so that you could live, and God accepted His sacrifice. You have been washed clean in the waters of holy baptism, in that cleansing flood of His mercy. You have been fed by the Lord's hand with food from heaven, so that you will be strengthened and well prepared for the journey to His holy mountain. Your ears have again heard His holy word, and all of your sins have been forgiven in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for a merciful God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.